prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers. This morning, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 6. Last week, we began a study of what's known as the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, however you choose to describe that passage. And we approached the study of that by asking the question, why pray the Lord's Prayer? Why should we pray the Lord's Prayer? Well, the obvious answer to that is because he told us to. All right? But we need to understand just what he's telling us to be asking for. And so, inasmuch as as vital as prayer is to the life of the Christian, if Jesus gave us a model prayer to use, don't you think we ought to be reminding ourselves of it often and understanding what he told us to pray for? Understand, of course, that that prayer does not end in Jesus' name, but we understand that later on in his teachings, he taught us that whatsoever we ask in his name, that he would grant it. And so because we understand who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us, we pray in Jesus' name unto the Father, asking for his blessings. That's the only acceptance we have before the Father, is through Jesus, isn't it? And so as we pray unto him, and as we look at this model prayer, and as we understand what he's telling us to be asking for, I hope that, and by the way, he says, after this manner, pray ye. So we don't have to say these exact words, but this ought to be the framework of the kind of asking that we do on a regular basis. So we understand that he began by saying, our Father which art in heaven. And last week we talked about our Father, how wonderful he is, good in and of himself, and all the goodness that's in this world and any goodness that's in us is of him, that he's given us. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to work in us and to work and to flow out of us. And he's given us his love as well. So we understand, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The greatest name that there is. The highest reverence that we should give to any name belongs to him. It's his. He deserves all praise, honor, and glory for all that he is and all that he does for us each day. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now we dealt with that last week, but I want to spend just a minute here on that phrase, thy kingdom come. The more I study this model prayer, the more I'm convinced this is the key to the whole prayer. Thy kingdom come. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, first, last week we talked about, we understand there's the eternal phase to the kingdom of God. There's also a timely aspect of our asking for the kingdom to come. The eternal phase, that is, like we mentioned from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul is speaking about the sequence of things, the end of time, and he comes to the place where he says, then cometh the end when the kingdom shall have been delivered up to God. That's at the end. And that kingdom will enjoy, or that kingdom will be perfect in every aspect. There's nothing wrong with what he set up here. All the imperfections are in us, isn't it? All right? Excuse me. But we know that that kingdom, though it's here now, though it's here for us to enjoy, though we try to press into that kingdom, and there's things that hinder us from entering into the kingdom, and there's things that hinder us from enjoying the kingdom, we know that there's coming a time when Christ is coming back to gather up all of his people and take us home to be with him, to enjoy the blessings of heaven forevermore. And the scriptures refer to that as the kingdom of God in its eternal sense. Just very briefly, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, excuse me, I can't get my throat clear. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When Paul, writing to Timothy, said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. All right, that's when Christ comes again. That's at the end of time when he comes to judge. But then down in verse 18, he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom. All right, so I just wanted to mention those again and just remind you that while there is that eternal phase of the kingdom of God, we also are told, and Jesus taught very plainly, that the kingdom was here when he was here on his earth, in his earthly ministry. When in Luke 17, when the Pharisees demanded of him when the kingdom should appear, remember what he said? It cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. There's not going to be an outward appearance of the kingdom of God. There's not going to be a throne that Jesus is going to sit upon. There's not going to be all of that in a material, physical sense. He says, for the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. Wherever he has given the Spirit of God. Wherever the Spirit of God lives and abides in the hearts of his people, the kingdom is there. And as Paul would write to the Romans, the Roman letter, Romans 14, he said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he tells us the nature of that kingdom, but it's not physical, it's spiritual. And the more we enjoy the presence of the Spirit of God, the more we read his word, the more we pray unto him, the more we seek to know him, the more we seek the leadership of his Holy Spirit. You know, we're told to pray that we might be walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The more influence that the Spirit is having upon our conduct, which that, by the way, is what Paul meant when he talked about be filled with the Spirit. Not filled like this glass is full of water, but filled in the sense of being under the influence of the Spirit. The more we're filled with the Spirit, the more the kingdom of God is being manifested in our life and from our life. That's what we need to be asking for. Now understand, when we say thy kingdom come, thinking of the eternal sense, certainly we need to live in that expectation of Christ coming again and taking us home to be with him. I can pray for that, can't you? Even so, come Lord Jesus. You know, it don't take too many bombings around for me to understand that this is an evil world in which we live. Whoever it is that's under the direction of those things, whoever is wanting to kill people or change politics or whatever, whatever the case might be, we're living in an evil and an adulterous time. And what a blessing it'll be to be delivered from this world into his heavenly kingdom. All the more reason for us to be praying, thy kingdom come, more of your Spirit in our lives, more of the manifestation of his glory, the more love and peace and joy that we can experience in this life, the more of his kingdom will be felt by those who know what it is. Isn't that what we want? Don't we need to be asking for that? Don't we need to be desiring to be a greater impact in the kingdom of God? Don't we want more of the kingdom of God manifested to us personally so that we can enjoy the blessings of God's Holy Spirit, the blessings of his kingdom, the blessings that are ours to enjoy from his bountiful hand each day? Thy kingdom come. The reason I wanted to emphasize that again is because it's so important to understand that part before we go on to the next. Thy kingdom come. It's like asking for more of His Spirit to be working in us. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Now, if you turn on the TV, watch the news all day long nowadays, you'll just about be gripped with fear, won't you? I mean, if you just listen to that all day long and listen to things that we don't have any control over and things that are hurting people and things that are seem to be encroaching upon our Christian liberties and seems like things that are changing that we don't want to see changed, it'll grip you with fear, won't it? You'll eventually become paralyzed in listening to that all the time. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us something far, far better. There's something far better to look to listen to. There's something far better to think about. There's someone far better to put your trust in than any earthly authorities. That's why Paul said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Things of the earth will run you crazy." So he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He hadn't done that. It's Satan that wants to grip us with fear. It's Satan that wants to cause us to doubt things. Is God really in control? You know, that's a question that Satan would be asking today. You know, Satan went to Adam and Eve, or Eve, and said, "Yea, hath God said?" Putting doubt in her mind, causing her to think about it. Well, I'm satisfied today. He said, "Yea, is God really in control?" What's the answer to that? Absolutely, He is, isn't that? All right? There's no doubt about it. But if Satan can get you to question it, if he can unloose the moorings, if he can cause you to be a little unstable, cause you to question a little bit about whether God really is in control or not, that'll make a terrible difference in your life. Remember, God is in control. And so we need more influence from the Holy Spirit. We need more of those good things that we need to think about and watch and hear and understand, the things of the kingdom of God that we need to be involved in, that we need to be a part of, that are here for us to enjoy. Thy kingdom come. The next phrase in the prayer is, "Thy will be done." Do you realize, until the Spirit of God has come into your heart and quickened you from a death in sins to life in Christ, you'll never do the will of God? Isn't that what the Scriptures teach us? Man by nature will never seek after God. Never. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." That's why Jesus said you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. All right? So he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Thy will be done. The more we understand about His will, and by the way, let's go ahead and get the next part of that. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, I understand a lot of people nowadays say "on earth." "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, the King James says "it earth." Is there a difference? Mm-hmm. I remember Elder Ferris had a really good illustration about the difference between "in" and "on." Does it make a difference where we say "in earth" or "on earth"? He used to hold up a glass of water. He said, "Would you rather have this glass of water in you or on you?" There's a difference. There's a difference. What is the difference here? What difference does it make? If you prayed, "Thy will be done on earth That means maybe you need to do the will of God, but I don't necessarily have to. I'd like to see a lot of people doing the will of God, but I may just kind of hold back a little bit. See, the will of God will not be done on earth until it's done in earth. These earthen vessels, this tabernacle of clay, in earth, until the Spirit of God works in this heart, God's will not be done from this vessel on earth. I think it's important to stick with the in earth, to understand that God works His will in us. The kingdom is not, it doesn't come with observation. It's not an outward material thing. It's in the hearts of His people, where the Spirit of God dwells, where God's people are following the leadership of the Spirit and doing His will. You know, Philippians chapter 2 says that, 2:13, he says, working in you both that, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will. He didn't say worketh on you, did he? He does work on us from time to time, though, doesn't he? All right, but it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How? By the Spirit. Working in us. Listening or leading us. And us listening to God. You know, we don't do a lot of that nowadays, do we? Listening to God. We're up and about. We may say a few words of quick prayer. And that may be it for our prayer time for the day, if we get around to doing that. But I understand people are busy. But isn't God worthy of a few minutes of our time? I mean, I would say He's worth all of our time. But I understand we have responsibilities. I understand we have activities we need to attend to. I understand all that. But I do also believe that we need to take some time. We sang that song this morning, take time to be holy. Now you start talking holiness and some people check out. Holiness. The more we behold Him, the more we'll be like Him. You know, I've told you before that the radio preacher from Texas, J. Vernon McGee, one time he said about that song, take time to be holy. He said he wished that they had called it, take time to behold Him. Take time to behold Him. And the song even says in some of the words that the more we look upon Him, the more we behold Him, the more like Him we'll be. Take time to pray. Think about what He's taught us in this model. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. That's where it has to start. It has to start in the hearts of His people, where the Spirit is working, where the Spirit is being effectual, where the Spirit is teaching us. That has to happen first before His will be done on the earth. Yes, I want it to be done on the earth. If more of God's people, if more people were following this leadership of the Spirit and doing the will of God on this earth, it'd be a lot better place to live, wouldn't it? There's plenty for us to enjoy right now, but there's plenty of things to remind us God's will is not being done everywhere. So it's incumbent upon God's people to say, Lord, how can I do Your will more perfectly? And be spending more time doing Your will. If we'll spend some time in prayer and asking the Lord to lead us and asking the Lord to guide us and asking the Lord for the things that's contained in this model prayer, if we'll spend some time early in our day asking for these things, more of God's will be done that day by you. I have the authority of this word to say that. Because that's where it has to start. God's Spirit working in us. Working in you both to will and to do. It has to come from His Spirit. It's not going to come from the natural man. It has to come from His Spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to what Paul says about the working of the Spirit. This, again, this point of thy will be done in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is key to the whole prayer. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll begin in reading in verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. As a father instructing his children. So think of the love that is being expressed in these words. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, thankfully, because of the work of Christ, because of what Jesus has accomplished for us, heaven is our home. And we can rejoice in that every day, can't we? And the more we rejoice in that, the more influence the Spirit will have upon us each day, because we're rejoicing in that which is good. I'll say that which is the best that Christ accomplished for us. There's no greater message on the face of this earth than what Jesus did. And so when we're rejoicing in that, we're rejoicing in the best. And he's called us unto his kingdom and glory. But that's not just what we have to await us over yonder. Sometime later, we can enjoy it right now. We can enjoy the blessing of his Spirit. If he's called us with that holy calling, then we can enjoy the blessings of his Spirit right now. We can enjoy talking to our Lord, being instructed by our Lord, and all of these things. So he's called us unto his kingdom and glory. He says, for this cause, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. All right, so not only do we have the Spirit of God, we have the word of God. And the word of God can work effectually in us. He's talking to believers. Those who can hear it, those who can receive it, those who can rejoice in it. The word of God can work effectually in our lives. Doing what? Subduing this old flesh. Subduing the passions of the things in this world. And setting our affection upon that one that loved us and gave himself for us. And teaching us what we need to be doing throughout our day that we might bring honor and glory to his matchless name. Working in us effectually. The Spirit of God, the Word of God will help us to manifest more of the kingdom of God. What he's worked in us, we can manifest it to others. Remember, I've told you often that grace, we love grace, don't we? We love mercy, don't we? Mercy and grace. Grace is unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. But in Strong's Concordance, Strong's gives another definition of grace. The divine influence upon the heart, remember that? And its reflection in the life. All right? That's how the kingdom is manifested. From the hearts of believers, where the Word of God and the Spirit of God is working effectually in us, and we're manifesting the things of the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? The more of that we manifest, the more of a blessing we can be in the kingdom of God. Not that we're going to add anything to it. It's perfect in the way God gave it, but certainly we, as God's believers, he calls us to do something, doesn't he? He doesn't call us just to sit around and wait for him to come back. He calls us to be actively engaged in walking in the truth, rejoicing in the truth, being a positive influence in the kingdom of God, being an encourager to others, Be a help to others in some way. That's what he's called us to do. There's plenty of evil in the world. We want to contribute something good. And if he's worked something good in us, then let's work it out. Now what he said in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work it out. Manifest it. You'll have a saving influence. We're not talking about being saved for heaven. We're talking about having a saving influence that'll save us and maybe have a positive influence on others around about us that'll save them from error. They'll save them from ignorance. It'll save them from making some mistakes that they ought not to. There's just all kinds of things that we can be saved from by having a good influence and being a good influence. All right, so thy will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. Is God's will done in heaven? Absolutely. I hope there's nobody here that'll argue about that. His will is done in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar was convinced of that, wasn't he? After that ordeal Nebuchadnezzar went through, he said, that he worketh his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Psalm 115. Our God's in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Yes. Problem is, or the challenge for us, now, God's going to, if God needs to intervene to work his will, he will. And we've seen him providentially intervene in many things in the Bible. And you can look through history and see the hand of providence in working many things. But how wonderful when God's people are obedient to the leadership of the Spirit of God and are walking in obedience and walking in faithfulness, being a help to God's people, being a positive influence in the kingdom. That's the variation, isn't it? God is always good. He's always perfect. We're not. We come short. But oh, may God help us to look upon the goodness of God. May that lead us to repentance. And may it help us, may it motivate us to be a better influence in the kingdom of God. So truly, only a heart with God's love in it. Will do God's will on earth. The next phrase that we want to try to deal with this morning in this prayer is the request to give us this day our daily bread. Do you ask the Lord for that? Are you asking for that? Is God going to answer that? Well, he told us to ask for it. And when we ask for it the right way, I wholeheartedly believe that God will do what he's told us to ask him for. So there's no reason to doubt that there'll be a response from God as a matter of fact. And I want to handle this cautiously. But don't you suppose, aren't you persuaded, let's try to get as strong as we can here, aren't you persuaded that God gives you daily bread oftentimes when you even forget to ask? Don't you know that he gives us many things that we're too lazy and too sorry to ask for? We are. We have to admit it. All right? So why ask? If he's going to give it anyway, why ask? Oh, that's an awful attitude. That's an attitude of ingratitude. God is so good to us. He is so merciful to us. He is so gracious in giving us more than we need. Who could forget and neglect to thank Him? And yet we do. And so we have far too high an opinion of ourselves, don't we? God is so good to us. Even when we don't ask, He gives us so much. Even when we don't ask. What do you think you'd have if you asked? Is it possible that He could open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you wouldn't be able to receive it? That's scripture, by the way. If you don't know where it is, it's in Malachi. All right? Yes, He can do that. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of endless supply. He doesn't need anything from us. Oh, but He desires our affection. He desires our thanksgiving. He desires our dependence. Is that too much to ask? For God, who supplies everything we ever receive. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That tells me that for the sake of Jesus, we receive every spiritual blessing that we'll ever receive. Everything. He said, give us this day our daily bread. We need to be asking the Lord to give us this day our daily bread. Now, I understand this is more than material bread, literal bread. Okay? But humor me for just a moment and think about. If indeed that only meant the literal bread that we need to survive each day, how much bread would God have to provide to all of His people all over the world every day? Now, I'm satisfied that what we need, He provides. But I mean, if it were just that bread, how much bread would that be? And if you could just see the mountains of bread that it would take to do that, wouldn't you say, oh, what a great God we have? Wouldn't you say that? Well, He is that. Why are we saying it anyway? He's providing far more than that. Every day. He did it yesterday and the day before and the day before. Every day we've been alive. Scripture says He daily loadeth us with benefits. He's been doing it all along. Have you been praising Him for it all along? Have you been thanking Him for it all along? Have you done it already today? It's not too late. Will you do it tomorrow? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm satisfied it covers the natural needs. That covers the spiritual needs. And we're probably far more prone to ask for our natural needs than to ask Him anything for spiritual. Lord, help me with this. Lord, give me that. Give me this. Lord, I need that. Don't you think He knows that? He does. But it honors Him for us to cast our dependence upon Him. Express and acknowledge our dependence upon Him for the things we need. He knows we need those things. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 6, when He begins by talking about how the, you know, the lilies and the birds, how God feeds them and how God clothes the lilies of the field. Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of those. He goes down and says, therefore, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, well, sometimes our thinking needs to be adjusted. You know, are we talking about necessities or are we talking about niceties? Okay, there's a big difference sometimes, isn't there? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Point is, God knows exactly what we need. He always does. Why should you ask if he's going to provide? All right? But let me, I'll follow up with that. But notice verse 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. That's what we need to be seeking every day, so that we can have a positive impact in the kingdom. So actually, in an active sense, we can be in the kingdom. Now, I know that the kingdom is in us, but there is the sense that the scriptures talk about entering into the kingdom, and there's things that hinder us from entering into that kingdom. And if we get lazy and if we start neglecting spiritual duties, we're not going to be in the kingdom. All right, so he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall. Aren't you glad that this didn't say might? It shall. Who's promising that? You know, a promise is only good as the one making the promise, isn't it? If I promised you that, it wouldn't mean much. This is Jesus. This is the one who has all power, both in heaven and in earth. And he said, you seek the kingdom first. Seek ye first. He didn't say seek ye only. In other words, it's not a 24/7 thing that you've got to be on your knees and praying. All right? I would encourage you to continue with a prayerful heart as you go about your duties. Seek ye first. Make it a priority. But you're going to serve the Lord first. His word is going to have its influence upon you, and every decision you make, you say, Lord, which would be please you most? Be under the influence of the Spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what is the promise here? And all, don't miss the all these things. All of it? Anything you need? Realize, of course, it's not everything we want. But anything you need, he already knows it. He has the power. He has the storehouses. He has the love. He has the mercy. And it comes through us for the sake of Jesus Christ, whose intercession is always heard of God. All these things shall. Isn't that wonderful? You have a promise from God. Now, is that hard to do? I mean, is he asking us to do great things? Is he asking to just do difficult things, perilous things? No. He's asking for our hearts. That's all he's asking for. Now, I know that, you know, we shy away from saying, let God. I'm not talking about that. But you do have a will that you can choose to or choose not to do God's will in practical things every day. And sad to say, we often choose not. We often choose the flesh. But look at what the promise is. All these things shall be added unto you. Oh, we have a great God. We have a powerful God. We have an able God. And we have a loving God because He's our Father. See, all of this is being asked of our Father. It's one thing to ask of God. It's one thing to speak of God. But when you bring it to the relationship of your Father, that makes a difference, doesn't it? Because He loves us with a perfect love. And the Scriptures teach us that we can never be separated from His love. And He's always going to do what's right. Unfortunately, for us, what that means is there's times that He's going to chastise us if we don't do what's right. But that's even in His love to bring us back into His will. So when we think about asking the Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we need to give us a thought. Are we putting Him first? Are we seeking His will above our own? Are we trying to follow the leadership of the Spirit, or are we under the influence of the flesh? I'm persuaded that has an impact on how He answers. In giving us our daily bread. We've already talked about the fact that there's some things He's going to provide just because He loves us. If your child neglects things and you know that there's a need there and they're not doing what they should, but because you love them, comes a time when you'll just do for them what's needed because you love them. But you'd probably do more if they were walking in love. I want you to think about this. As we explore this prayer, it's not just a matter of learning what it says. There's plenty of people in this world that can quote this from one end to the other, perhaps having no clue what it means and how to apply it to day-to-day living. And that's where the meat of it is applying it to day-to-day life. And see how God opens the windows of heaven and blesses us with blessings. See how He's merciful, how He provides. See how God lovingly blesses us in so many ways. Give us this day our daily bread. First of all, we have to ask. He teaches us to ask Him. That's acknowledging our dependence, acknowledging that He's our Father, we're the child, we're acknowledging our place, and realizing, if nothing else, that's what He's told us to do, and so that's what we're going to do. You know, just like at the marriage at the Cana of Galilee, when the servants said, we have no wine. Remember what Mary told them? Whatsoever He saith unto thee, just do it. And you know, sometimes that's just what we need to do. We may have a lot of questions. Well, Lord, just do it. You know, Nike's made a lot of money off of that slogan, haven't they? I got that right, didn't I? Nike. Yeah. But in a wholesome sense, when God's Word tells us to do something, while we're trying to figure out all that it means, just go ahead and start doing it. You know, don't we understand things on a level, but there's more to learn about it, but don't let that stop you from applying the Word of God to our lives. Do what we know. That's the fastest way and the best way to grow in grace. Start doing what you know. If you reject it, you're going to lose. But if you start walking in the light that you have, God will bless you. And part of that blessing will be more light and more light. All right? So give us this day our daily. First thing we need to do is ask. That's what he told us to do. And then we need to ask, recognize that we're asking him. And that's acknowledging him as our Father, our provider. The one that loves us. The one that's given us life. The one who sustains our life. The one through his Son has given us eternal life. But acknowledge him as the giver of all good things. Acknowledge him that it's he that gives us power to get wealth, like Deuteronomy 8 says. It's God that gives us that power. Whatever we have, it's a blessing from him. Whatever we have is just on loan to us for a little while. Eventually, we're going to have to turn it loose. Then it'll be somebody else's. But it's been given from God. Remember him. Acknowledge him. Recognize that he's the one that is the only true and living God. And yet, he's our Father. We also need to be asking daily, don't we? You know, it's not a matter of I did that once. It's a matter of asking daily. I can't think of a better example in the scriptures of the need for that than the Old Testament in the wilderness. What fell every day? There was some daily bread that fell every day. Well, at least 6 days a week. Okay. I could say that in a general, you know, every day in a general sense, but you understand, technically, it was 6 days, wasn't it? They weren't to go out and gather on the seventh. There wasn't going to be any anyway. There wasn't any manna on the Sabbath. Not only that, but the manna, when they did gather it up, how long did it last? That day. That day. God said, you're not supposed to save it until tomorrow. Well, some of them didn't believe him. Some of them, maybe they decided they didn't want to go out and gather every day. Maybe they just want to gather it and have enough for several days. Because that's what some of them did, didn't they? What happened? Bread, worms, and stank. If you want the scriptural words. He intended for them to receive what they needed for that day. I was reading from Matthew 6. I didn't get to verse 34 in Matthew 6. This is a little different context, but the principle is still alive. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. This is kind of in a negative sense here, but I would say it's a positive and negative. Okay? In the sense of, well, we should ask, give us this day our daily bread. Then he's saying here in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. He goes on to say, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, there will be plenty of things to worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Let's focus on today. As a matter of fact, we're not even promised we're going to be here tomorrow, are we? We're not even promised that we're going to be here this afternoon. So what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. The manna that fell in the wilderness that sustained them for 40 years didn't all fall in one day. they received it as they needed it each day. By the way, it didn't fall on the Sabbath, we said that, but God made a special provision, didn't he? See, the more you study that, the more you just, it just fills your heart with the goodness and mercy of God. He told them to gather enough on the sixth day so they could have some on the Sabbath, right? And he allowed what was gathered on the sixth day to be okay for the seventh, because if they obeyed what he said, he took care of them. So they could gather more than they needed on the sixth day, and it was okay to eat that on the Sabbath because he told them not to gather it on the Sabbath. I mean, isn't God fair? In every sense, in the perfect sense, God is fair. And what he tells us to be asking, give us this day, give us this day our daily bread. Then we need to be asking, Lord, supply our needs. Show me what you'd have me to do. Give me the strength to do it. You know what I need. You know, when you're praying along those lines, you're leaving it up to God to provide what he knows is best. Now, doesn't he know what's best? You know that show, Father Knows Best? Some of you remember that. Kind of lost its appeal in our day, hasn't it? But we're talking about our Heavenly Father, then there's no question. He knows in the absolute sense what each one of us needs. And he's able to supply it. All right, so when he says, when we're told to ask daily, then we're to recognize God knows what we need each day. And the end of chapter 6 told us that sufficient unto day is the evil thereof, so don't have to worry about what's going on tomorrow. Just be concerned about today. And ask confidently, because God does know what we need, and he's able to supply it. So can't we ask him confidently? And there's a sense that we can ask boldly and not arrogantly, not demandingly, if that's a word, but boldly in the sense of coming to the throne of grace. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. How can we come boldly into the throne of grace? By having our confidence in Jesus as our access into this grace. By trusting in him as the atonement for our sins, as the one that has died for us, that we might be in his presence. And so in that frame of mind, recognizing what Christ has done for us, how he's purged our sins, paid the sin debt, reconciled us to God, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We're talking about prayer anyway, aren't we? That we may obtain mercy. We need that. Every day we need that. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace to help. Whatever it is. Grace to help, again, speaks of how God knows what that is. We may not know. We may be asking for the wrong thing entirely. Do you know that? There's times we don't even ask for the right, when we think about asking, we don't ask for the right thing sometimes. All right? But come boldly, confidently, give us this day our daily bread. And the last thing I want to notice about that asking is that we're asking for our bread. Now, we certainly need to be praying for others. I persuaded that needs to be the bulk of our prayers, is praying for others. But it does not exclude the time when we have genuine needs and the times when we ask God to help us to be a better disciple. In whatever way we're asking for that, certainly we can ask for our own needs. But oh, what He has for us, our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. This is personal, isn't it? I could pray for you. I hope you pray for me. God knows our needs precisely. He knows when we need it. He knows what else needs to happen in our life before we can appreciate some of the things that we're asking for. How wonderful that the Scriptures gives us a kind of a generic phrase here, because we understand that it's not just our food that we're asking for. Later on in that chapter, he talks about all these things shall be added, and that was food and raiment and whatever else the Lord knows that we need. But how wonderful that He knows everything that we need. And when we pray to Him, and when we ask Him daily, we're praying unto that one who not only knows, but is able to supply all these things. He's the only true and living God. A lot of people in this world are depending on a lot of things before they think about depending upon God. A lot of people are rushing to and fro, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to do what they can to satisfy their own needs. And I understand that, you know, there's plenty of room for a good work ethic. There's plenty of room for being industrious in our life. There's plenty of room for that. But still, the priority is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the last part of this, give us this day our daily bread. However we choose to word that when we are praying unto God, help us to, may God help us to remember that we're acknowledging Him as our Father, our Lord and our God, the only true and living God. And the only standing we have before Him is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray in Jesus' name. But there's things we need to be praying for on a daily basis, isn't there? The question is, are we praying? First of all, are we praying the way we should be? Are we praying in the Spirit? Are we praying that we can be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are we praying that we could be a positive influence in the kingdom of God? There's so much in this short prayer that Jesus gave us. Even though it's perfect, there's a lot we need to know about it. The rest of it gets to be more some practical things that perhaps we need to be exercised more in. But today we're going to have to stop right there. Think about, thy will be done in earth. That's where it starts, isn't it? In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And may God bless you abundantly to understand what we're asking for. And may God bless you abundantly in being able to apply these things to your daily lives. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.